Hi, I'm comedian Joe Matarese, and this is my podcast, Pretender to Contender. This is what I do on every show. Every episode, I'll be interviewing someone who's in an entrepreneurial field who started out as a pretender and through many trials and errors took that idea that just started as just a dream and they figured out how to become a contender. If you know me, you know why that fascinates me so much. You're listening to Pretender to Contender with Joe Matarese.
Whoa, whoa, hello, 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 hey, yeah, 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 I am sick of doing the role that part. Pretender to Contender is almost done. Yeah.
How are you, everybody? Welcome to another Pretender to Contender podcast. If you were listening to me singing right there, you were really listening. You weren't tuned out. You weren't looking for something that you dropped in your car in that space. You ever do that? You ever drop something on the side of your car seat where it connects to that center console? There's like that space, and you fucking gotta find it where it was something you needed, and it's like in this. It's like there should be a name for that area in the car where it's like a no man's land. You never find it again. You're like, where the fuck is it? It's gone. It's gone. I had that happen with a screw recently that I bought. These screws for this apparatus that holds all my t-shirts on my Remember When shows. These big metal grids that have legs on them, and I needed new screws for them. And one of them fell out, went right down in that seam in the car. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Oh my God, is it? It sucked. It took forever. I had to shine a flashlight under there, and I found it. But who the hell cares about that? I was trying to say, if you were listening to that cold open, I'm really sick of Pretender to Contender. I got to be honest. It's not a funny podcast. It's not funny. I'm a comedian. I need to have a funny podcast, right? Well, I have a revelation, everybody. I have a revelation that I want to talk to you in a second. But I want to get to these plugs. Let's give myself some music since I don't care about using music that I don't own the rights to right here. Let's see what it's a good one here in my library. Will be a good one. Will be a good one. I don't know if you'd even recognize this. This is from the end of a movie. See if you know what movie ended with this song. Do you know? You recognize that? We'll say it really fast. June 4th, I'll be in Scarsdale, New York. That's this Saturday, Jackie B's. June 16th to the 18th, I'll be in Bridgeport, Connecticut. July 29th and 30th, I'll be at Governor's in Levittown, Long Island. August 7th, Stone Harbor, New Jersey. August 9th, Diamond Beach, New Jersey. August 10th, Ventnor, New Jersey. August 12th, Brigantine, New Jersey. Bringing it on home, August 13th, Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Let's shut that song off. See if it got dropped out in the podcast. That was called Goodbye, Goodbye by Oingo Boingo. Do you know what movie ended with that? Some of my people might know. If you know me as the Remember When guy, that's from the very end of Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they show all that shit on the screen, what each character went on to do. That's the song that plays. It's a good song. I didn't even really know it until I needed it for something recently, and I looked it up. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was Oingo Boingo, and I didn't know I even liked Oingo Boingo. Never even noticed Oingo Boingo when I was young, and I'm listening as a 54-year-old guy, and I'm like, fucking Oingo Boingo is good. They're good. They're good. So let's bring you up to pace. Let's bring you up to pace. What's going on with me? I didn't really do... Did I take a week off? I guess I did take... Did I take a week off? I think I did take a week off. I'm fucking out of it, everybody. I've been out of it lately. Don't even know where my head is at recently. Don't know why. Everything seems fine. Don't know why. But I'm a little out of it. So sorry about the podcast being a little late. But if you noticed right at the top, I did say this might be the last pretender to contender. I'll probably let me get to that in a second. We'll get to it. I want to get you up to base with what's been going on. Okay, so the tour stuff's been happening. Been traveling around, all Northeast stuff. I'm actually just got back from Atlantic City. I was at the Borgata last night doing a show. And I posted some one clip and another one will probably go up tomorrow from that Atlantic City show. I posted a clip just now on Instagram and TikTok where I got introduced and they brought me on stage to Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. And I made fun of the song and I realized about almost immediately, because that's what I titled it online as, immediate bomb. I never started bombing so fast. I made a joke about Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, and as I did it, within like 5 seconds, I could tell this Atlantic City crowd isn't the brightest bunch. They don't know who Peter Gabriel is, I guess. They don't know Sledgehammer. They don't know Peter Gabriel sang Sledgehammer. It still amazes me that song was a big hit. Fucking hate that song. And I do the Borgata a lot. I love doing the Borgata. It's always a fun gig. I love staying overnight. I bring cigars down there when I do it. It's like a, I feel like every guy needs this. Like a, it's like a man vacation without your friends where it's just you. You ever have one of those? Every guy needs one of those. It's nice to just kind of be alone in a nice hotel. And I bring cigars because there's spots in the casino where you could smoke. And during the week, there's not a lot of people there because I don't like cigarette smoke. So there's nobody there, and I know I can light a cigar right there. And I just like that feeling of being indoors. I get one drink. I don't overload. I had one tequila and soda. Just one tequila. That's what I've been drinking lately. It makes you feel like you don't get fat. I recommend it to people out there. Tequila and soda. You could drink straight tequila on the rocks. I do that sometimes with a little lime. But it's good with soda. It waters it down a little bit. A little seltzer water in there. And you don't get fat. Even though I'm not a fat guy, I can get fat. I'm at that age now where I can get fat fast. Like a couple of shitty meals and I'm like, I'm getting a gut. Oh, shit. Tequila and soda. Boom. Do that. Don't drink the IPAs and the porters and the Guinnesses. They're gonna weigh you down. They're gonna weigh you down, man. Go tequila. Tequila and soda. It's a good drink. Sounds like I'm plugging it. Just plugged it with no brand name. A guy trip. Went down there, had a good time alone, did the show. And had a really good set, and it was a good time. So I've been kind of doing these gigs lately, so get you up to speed. So remember when, and this connects with the revelation that I'm going to let you know in a second, but remember when's going good, but I like that I don't have to do it everywhere. Like, this is what, there's a lot of trial and error in my fucking career. Somehow not in my marriage. Like, I got married once and I'm still married and we're 16 and a half years in and it's great, you know. Didn't have to do a trial and error. Did all my trial and error with girlfriends. Didn't marry the wrong one. Didn't have a kid with the wrong one. Never did any of that. I've never even got a girl pregnant. I've never had to have a girl get an abortion. I never had to do that. A lot of my friends did. I did not. Yes. Pretty proud of that. So doing these gigs, traveling around, and you start to realize that the Remember When show works best when I do it in a theater or even a comedy club. But I had to do it Saturday in a private venue, which I was really excited about. It was at my country club, the Davenport Beach Club, that we're members of. did it there. Thought it was going to be amazing, right? And what happened was, it was probably not a good weekend to do it because it was Memorial Day weekend. You know, that's not, everybody's away, even if they're members of a club, they're not around. So we only had 100 people there, right? Probably could have fit another 100, but a lot of people were out of town. So we only had 100 people. And then everybody in the audience was dressed 80s, which I thought was a really cool idea. Now in retrospect, I think it might be a little overkill. There's a little too much 80s. There was a photo booth. Everybody's getting their picture taken 80s, all 80s. Then we had a DJ there that we brought in. DJ played all music for 80s music before the show and 80s music full dance party after my show. So here's what happens, you know. People don't realize how much the setup of a show is so important. So I get there and they need a dance floor, right? So and the other thing was that they didn't get a stage. They decided they were going to pimp out the whole room, did the whole full lighting experience that they could do with this production company that we use. And it was my first time working with them. They were phenomenal. Highly do a major shout out to Mike and Mikey. You guys were awesome. They had about a 6-man crew, guys running lights. They had LED screens behind me to do all my projections for my 80s show. We pimped it out, but they didn't have a stage, so we had to pimp out the floor. As soon as you take the stage out, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't feel like a show anymore when I'm on the floor, right? It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. But you don't want to get in an argument. You know, you never want to get in an argument with the caterer. There was a caterer there, and he wanted it his way, which I understand. He's about the food and making all the people happy, and I'm about how do I do a show and make them happy. And it sucks because what you run into is if it's set up shitty, your show's shitty. So I have no audience in front of me. People are way to the left. People are way to the right, and they're all those big circle tables that you get at a wedding where, like, I don't know, 12, 15 people are sitting at one table. That's never good either. It seems like groups of four in those small cocktail tables is the way to go. So these big tables all spread out, right? And I didn't know they were doing this. They did a 4-course dinner, right? So imagine this. So I got to follow a cocktail. There's a cocktail hour, right, that starts at 7. I got to this gig at 5 to help them set up. You know, this is my first time working with the production company. I wanted to show them how I do my show. I usually do like an hour sound check at these gigs now, teaching the tech people, this is how I do it. This is where I need this. This is where I need that. In an hour, I can usually bring them up to speed on my show. So I went 2 hours early on this one because I knew there was a little more. So I'm there at 5 o'clock. Okay. 7 to like 8:15 is the cocktail hour. Then they sit down for a full 4-course dinner, right? Salad, and then whatever the second course, the third course, then the fourth course is this family style pasta thing, right? I don't hit the stage till 9:45, and I've been there since 5. I'm fucking tired. I've been there for over 4.5 hours, right? Is that correct math? 5, 9? Yeah, I'm there a long time. I'm tired. I come on stage when I do my Remember When to It Takes Two. And usually I can just hold the mic out and everybody knows the beginning to It Takes Two, right? Everybody comes on, It Takes Two, you know the part. I'm a bass, I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known throughout the microphone because I get stupid, I mean outrageous. Stay away from me if you're contagious. I know how to win, I'm not a loser. The BNMC is what I choose. Ladies love me. Girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me. Like the way that it rhymed, that is so. The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, cause, right? Usually the whole crowd will freaking sing that with me. And now we're in. We're in the 80s mood. There's energy. I come up to It Takes Two. I'm ready to rap. There's fucking waitresses serving cake all over the room. No one's looking at me. I'm fucking sweating. I'm doing It Takes Two when they're serving cake. This is what's hard. And you would go, well, why do you do those gigs? Why do you do those gigs? These private gigs, they always pay like 4 times what a club or a theater pays. They pay really well, so you do them. And lots of times they're great. I would have been way better off if I just did my regular stand-up set. I wouldn't have cared that there was no stage. I've done it a million times. I would have been able to walk around the room, fuck with people. But no, I'm doing the Remember When show with this 80s theme. And I don't know. You know how I get. You know how I get. So I do. Then I have to go into Jesse's Girl, which is the second bit. And we show the video to Jesse's Girl. And I get into that. They're still serving cake. So my two big numbers that I usually do at the top of this show that are placed there for a reason. It's like a batting order. These have a lot of energy. They get the crowd going. They're easy to get into. And they're a great way for me to start the show about the 80s, right? Now, they fuck me because it's like I look like an idiot when there's high energy bits and everybody's eating their cake and looking down and not even into it. And they're all seated way to the left and way to the right. And oh my God, it just felt hard. And then it was like an uphill battle. It was a hard set. I had them at times. And the other thing is they realized they were running long with the food. So they came up to me. My show's usually an hour 20, hour and 30 because I don't have an opener. I do the full 90. It's a one man show. And I'm so mad at myself because I know this. I know this. I've done the one-man shows in the past in venues with waitresses walking around, and it's hard. You got to strip it down if you're going to do that. So they go, you can't do 90. You got to do 60 minutes. So now I got to go into the slideshow on my computer, guess which bits aren't good for that night, and remove them, take the pictures out, and then hope I still know my show, and it all goes together. So that threw me a little bit, too. Not horrendous. I was fine, but it still just, it changed it. It changed it. And it was what it was, and my mom always says this. My mom still will call me after gigs that night or the next day. How did it go? Oh, I'll be like, oh, it was a great one, or oh, it was a hard one. It was a hard one, Mom. And she'll go, did you get paid? Yeah. Then who cares? That's what she always says. So I did get paid, even though the check technically didn't come yet. It goes to my manager, and then he has to take his 10% and then send me a check. So they were happy. What made it the hardest is I'm a member there, so I know every single person. Now I have to see them every day for the whole summer. And I don't know if any of you guys out there can relate. Anyone have jobs where you can tell? You go to work and you can tell it was somebody, you know, who has a negative thought of something you did at your job, but then they try to disguise it by saying something else. Like, I've been doing this too long. Like, I know when someone didn't think it went that well. This guy comes up to me maybe the next day or the day after that, and he's like, saw your show. He goes, you put a lot of work into that, didn't you? And I'm going, that is the nicest way of saying, that wasn't good, but it looked like you spent a lot of time on it. You spent a lot of time on that thing that half sucked. So, yeah, it's an eye-opener, because I'll blame me on it too, you know. I know you can blame the venue so much, but your show needs to be so good that I could take all the pictures away that the crowd doesn't see. I could take all the music out of the show. There's no backdrop whatsoever. The jokes are so funny that I can just stand here and say them. That's where it needs to be. And it's not. I know that for a fact. And I could tell on social media. Social media shows you. If you go look at my TikTok and my Instagram, all the videos that do the best are from Medicated and from The Poster's Wrong, or from other TV shows I did in that same time period, maybe from a Letterman or my Comedy Central half hour. All those jokes that are usually about me or my wife or my parents or my kids or about some freaking medication I was on or being Italian, like all those bits pop way more on social media, and all the stuff that's about Remember When in the 80s, like that, it doesn't do as big. And I can't tell. I guess I could tell a little, because sometimes I go, well, that's because you haven't put as much time into them yet. You're just getting back on your feet with the shows, with COVID and everything. So don't be so hard on yourself. Keep doing them, and they're going to keep growing and get better, and you're going to write other ones to add in, and you're going to do that, and then it's going to get as good as that. There's that, and there's also the mindset that says, whenever I lock in to a specific thing, I lose me, which is funny because I do have one caller for this podcast who's Jerry Rowan, who left a voicemail because he saw Norm MacDonald's new special that's on Netflix that I haven't watched it yet, but I hear it's amazing. I'll play the call in a few moments that he saw it, but I can remember Jerry Rowan saying to me, Joe, what if your thing is that you go in a lot of directions? Like, that is a thing that you don't lock in. So there could be something too, because I've noticed this took me years as a comedian to figure it out, because I used to tape record everything, and then I would listen to all my ad-libs, and then I would try to repeat them. I would go, oh, that was funny. Let's keep doing that. That was funny. And it doesn't work. And then you start, it took me many years to figure out I have to re-ad-lib every time. I need to find new and something in the moment with different jokes and different things. I have my set act, but I have to have real shit happen every time. Like what you'll see that I posted on TikTok and Instagram today. It was a moment that I just went off of when the host introduced me, and then I come up. He wasn't the host, though. It was a piggyback show, like one comic, and then they introduced, you know, one of those. So I was third on the show, and he introduces me, and Sledgehammer comes on by Peter Gabriel, and I just start riffing on it. And even though what I riffed bombed, I save it by making fun of how it bombed, and then I kind of made that funny. So that's what needs to happen in everything I do, right? And these podcasts, something that I started thinking about, they've all been specific ideas, right? All my podcasts, every one of them, right? Fixing Joe. Everybody, the audience is my therapist, and they contact me with advice for me, and I share what my problem was that week. What else did we have? We had Stand Up Lie Down, right? Where I had Dr. Keith Ablo, a therapist, and we interview comedians and we play their stand-up bits and then we analyze them off of their bits with them on the show with us. Stand Up, Lie Down, right? That was one of my podcasts. And then there was Life of Joe, and I would just share a thing from my life every episode. Then there was Medicated, right? Medicated. I talked about what? I talked about different medications and trial and error of Adderall, Celexa, and going to therapy and talking about all that kind of stuff on the podcast. And something that's always kind of resonated with me is what people would say. And I always say, trolls sometimes are mean, but sometimes it's based in something that's true or, you know, in reality. And the same with social media. Yeah, oh, it's just social media. But sometimes you look at the data and you can figure something out. You're like, okay, this doesn't do as well as this. I notice when I do impressions on social media, it stinks. It never gets anything. Never gets anything. It does terrible. And then I see these other guys who do impressions, and theirs gets huge numbers. So I'm like, all right, stop doing impressions. That's not your thing. Sure, you can do voices. You can do them, but it's not what you're it's not your thing. It's not what's funny about you, right? This podcast, Pretender to Contender, another one. There's no way for me to make this funny. How do you make that funny? I'm going to talk to somebody every week and learn about how he went from a pretender to contender. It's another locked in specific idea. No. I'll be honest. I'm honest with my audience. I've been doing this podcast for a year, okay? Over a year. It's doing bad. Like, not only is it doing bad, like, most comedians now are doing these podcasts so they can pull clips and put it on their social media so they don't have to put their stand-up on their social media all the time. And now when people come and see them live, they know their whole act. So now they put stuff from their podcast on their social media, and it's them on their podcast being funny. Then What else do they do? They do a lot of crowd work. You see that? Comedians doing that a lot. I'm told comedians are doing Q&As now at the end of their show, so now they can cut that up and put it on their social media. It's crowd work. Audience ask a question. They make jokes off of that. Then they post that so they don't have to burn their bits either. So totally makes sense, right? So I'm like, I'm all locked in. And it hit me because the trolls where I say they say things that make sense sometimes. Forever I've had people going, you're not funny on your podcast. You're not a funny podcast guest. You're not funny. You're not funny. And I started thinking about it. I was like, And my wife, I've said this before, she nails it a lot. She goes, whenever you just talk into the camera, it's not funny. What are you doing? Like, you don't sound like yourself. I could feel it right now. I'm not funny right now. I'm sitting in an office alone talking into a microphone with my fucking floor fan next to me on and the door shut and I'm a little sweaty, but I'm alone. I'm alone trying to talk to you and connect. Not funny. Probably why my whole life, people that went to school with me or whatever, like they couldn't believe that I went into stand-up comedy because they didn't know there's this whole other person in me that comes out when there's an audience. It comes out. Yes. Yes. So I've done all these podcasts with no audience. That could be a huge piece that I've been fucking up, right? And you might say, some of the trolls will say, well, you did that thing with Artie Lang and Cumia, Anthony Cumia and Jim Norton, and you had an audience there, and you sucked the worst you've ever sucked, right? You could see it on YouTube. It's me sucking worse than I've ever sucked, and those guys are being hilarious. One of the reasons, well, they're really funny guys, so they got that. But also, a little easier to be funny because they're not locked in to something. They just can react. That's when someone who's funny is the best, right? And then I was locked into this trying to do a pilot called Fixing Joe. So I'm locked in and I'm getting mad at them because my locked in thing isn't working. And to anyone watching, it's obvious you're sitting there watching it going, Joe, just fucking be funny. Stop taking it so seriously and just start fucking with them and have a conversation, enjoy it, and make the best of it. And don't worry about it. It's not a Fixing Joe pilot, and just use it as a podcast and put it out. Stop trying to make it this TV show. But that's easy to say afterwards. And I made a mistake. And then, like, there's people that have that thing up on YouTube and it has tons of views on it. It's hilarious. It makes me look like a shithead. There's lots of things on YouTube now that make me look like a shithead, and I just live with it. It's fine. Here's another one, you know, that someone made. I didn't make it, but they do. They do. But there's truth to it. I started thinking, whenever things just roll off me and I'm having fun, that's what it needs to be. Excuse me. So I always say I don't steal ideas. Or I don't, what am I saying? I don't steal jokes from comedians. But sometimes I steal business ideas. I watch what they do on social media. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to do more of that with my stuff. So I watched that Kill Tony show, right? It's really big. It's a huge YouTube podcast. They do it at a comedy club. And there's an audience there. There's an audience there, and I was just watching. I could tell they were having fun doing it, and I thought, not only should I do a podcast with an audience, I shouldn't be locked into any concept. And people have been saying this to me for the last year with Pretender to Contender. They're like, your show should just be the Joe Matarese show, and then you can do whatever you want every week. So I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, how can I do it live in front of an audience? And it's not going to stream live. I'll film it live in front of an audience. I'll have a multi-cameras there. And almost every one of my ideas should be in one podcast, you know? And then you throw them against the wall. And if they start, I did a segment called Fixing Joe on an episode that's like 10 minutes long, and I talk about a problem and people are giving me advice and it comes out really funny, and then I put it up on my social media and it gets a lot of views. That tells you that's funny. That works. Do some more of those on your episode, but never do one locked in thing, right? Do a remember when piece on the podcast. Now it's just a little piece. It's a 10-minute segment, and put that on your social media and see if people like it. If they're they think it's funny and you're getting a lot of views, do more of those. If it does shitty, stop doing it. It sucks. It's not working. As pretender to contender comes to an end. It's not like I do things for, you know, there are podcasts that I did like one time and I just never did it again. That happens. But those were never really something I thought were going to be podcasts in the past. I think I did, what did I do? Something with Chris Gucci once. It was called like, Why Can't We Be Friends? Or Can We Be Friends? Or something like that. Because him and I just started hanging out. So the podcast was like, ooh, can these guys be friends? And it was about that. But we just, that was because I went on the podcast, his podcasting network, that I'm no longer on, by the way. I'm no longer on the Chop Sports. I'm over here on Anchor. I'm by myself. And I'm just doing this podcast. It'll probably change to this new live thing. And it might still be on the same feed, but it's going to be, it might not even be audio. It might be just video, or it might be both. But again, I'm just throwing shit against the wall. That's what you got to do, right? Maybe there's another segment, Italian-ish, because I had this idea for a tour once, because I'm this, people call me white bread wop. Like, I'm the most non-Italian-Italian, right? That's what they always call me. And I was like, there's something interesting about that. Not going full Guido, like maybe doing a tour of comedians like Mike Vecchione, me, these Italian guys that aren't like, hey, what the fuck? You know what I'm doing? You know what I mean? They're more not that, you know, that there is a whole world of that, of these white collar Italians, you know, educated Italians that aren't, you know, idiots, like some of the fucking people that you get out there. I've done these Italian shows where I'm like, Jesus Christ, this sucks. They're such fucking Guidos. How do I not have to do these anymore? Try that as a segment. Talk about it. It could be a funny subject. But man, can you tell when I'm sitting here alone right now, even now, explaining all this shit, that's not fucking funny at all. I have no idea how to be funny with no audience. You know, I even thought what would be cool is, because it's hard to go, you know, you got to get an audience to come and watch you do it. That's the hardest part. I thought, well, you could film some, this guy I've been working with who's a writer, and I think he'll be writing some of these segments and helping me with ideas for the show. He has a studio where he lives and we could kind of use it. And because you realize, if I have a band, first of all, if there's a band in it, that's like I don't need 200 people in the audience. Sometimes 10's enough that it makes you go to the funny. 10 people there, you know, versus you alone talking into your camera. But I thought it'd be cool to try some stuff where you're actually, your family members are there. Because now it's like, I feel like everybody wants to see how the cake is made, how the cookies are made. That's what does the best on social media. People want, I know for a fact, if my wife was involved in a podcast that I did, and my dad was on, and then my sister-in-law's on, and my mother-in-law, like occasionally, and they were part of something, like, because that's what I talk about in my stand-up, that's what people would like. They would love to see her or hear her. And I thought, there might be segments that you can do where they're in the audience. They're my audience. They're the only audience, the band and family members. And we do it like in front of 10 or 12 people. You know, we bring some friends, we bring family, and they're there. We have some drinks and we film an episode, you know, and see where that goes. And again, throw it against the wall. Someone told me Gary Vaynerchuk, that actually a friend of mine used to work for Gary Vaynerchuk, who's going to be one of the writers on this guy, Pete. And Pete was telling me, Pete goes, he has this method that the internet is like spaghetti. Like you just throw spaghetti against a wall and see what sticks. And that's what you need to do. And that's kind of perfect if you have a lot of different segments and you just fucking start winging them against the wall and see what happens. But man, oh man, fuck being locked in. Fuck you. All right, that was a 35-minute riff right there. That was like a 36-minute rant about me not locking in. So here's what I'd like to say to Pretender to Contender. Hey, Pretender to Contender, goodbye, goodbye. It's too serious. I'm a comedian. Don't do anything serious. Even my podcast, Remember When, where I did it with a band once and it sucked really bad, that's when I added serious into it. And my wife even told me, why are you adding serious in? You're a comedian. Don't do serious. You're funny. Do funny. And she was right. Once again, fucking fuck these serious ideas. I got to be a fucking idiot. That's what I am. A dumb idiot. I even thought it'd be fun to do the news because I'm so uninformed and so dumb when it comes to the news. That's my news. It'll be like the uninformed dumb guy news. Let's see what Joe knows news. Whatever it is, you know. Be raw. Be vulnerable. Make mistakes. It's fine. It's fine. What would you ask Jim Florentine, and I'll just come on and go, all right, this is what I know about the fucking news. I don't know much, but it's fucking brutal. It's fucking brutal what's going on. We got to stop it. Why would you do that? We'll do the No one will know who Jim Florentine is, but it'll be fun to me. It'll be fun to me. So let's end this episode. I'm going to keep it short since it could be, you know, the last one on this feed. There might be a new feed starting soon. But we got a call from Jerry Rowan, the man, the myth. He this was about the Norm Macdonald new special that's on Netflix that I have not seen. Let's see what Jerry has to say.
Hello, Joe. It's Jerry Rowan from Philly. I'm calling because I just got done watching the Norm Macdonald Nothing Special. And I gotta tell you, man, I've never laughed through tears before, man. It's very emotional. The whole thing is very emotional and funny at the same time. And, I guess he's always that way, but not to this degree, you know. I thought it was awesome, and I'm just curious on your take. So that's why I'm calling. All right, man. Talk to you soon. Take care. Brush your hair.
Little Artie Lang call back there. Even Artie Lang, as much troubles as Artie's been in, he's been the only comedian in my long over 30-year comedy career that was a mentor to me. He would give me really great dead-on advice, and it was always good. And what I just went through with that rant was, it goes back to Artie. Artie said to me once, I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to try to do this, and I'm going to try to do that. And this was his nice way of saying it. He goes, just do funny. Don't worry about themes and all that shit. That's what he said to me. Just do what you think is funny, and they don't need to all fall under the same subject matter. And I was like, I didn't listen to it, and I'm going to listen to that now. Do funny, you know? Do funny. It's like when I did the Remember When show this Saturday at that private event, there was nobody there telling me that you got to talk about Remember When the whole time. I could have went off and said, fuck it, and started doing some of my other bits that don't involve the pictures, that have nothing to do with the 80s, just regular stuff. I could have started bitching about funny things about the club that might have been funny because all those people are members, and I could have ad-libbed about that. I should have left. I got to trust that more. Go have fun. Leave your script. You'll be fine because you've been doing this so long that you'll figure it out. You don't need to lock yourself in. Stop it. So Jerry, I love what you said where you never laughed through tears before. And I've always said, that's my favorite comedy. When you laugh, cry, laugh again, cry again. And that's probably why I try to do these one-man shows, is that's really the only format where it's okay to make people sad and cry after you made them laugh. And it always interests me so much. So, and I knew at a stand-up club, you're not ever going to make people cry. And it's interesting, now that I think about it, it's interesting that you say that also, because think about Norm MacDonald's last Letterman, when Letterman was going off the air and Norm said he loved him and starts crying. Like, and that's why Norm MacDonald was such a great comedian, is he had that. He had that cry thing that was there. And I always say that about comedy. It's very like the blues. Comedy and the blues are similar. And why I hate comedians that talk really fast. I go, you can't be vulnerable if you're talking that fast. There's no second to let anything breathe. It's like you're too insecure to pause for a second. The best comedians can pause. Norm MacDonald is a great example of that. And like music's the same way. Like some of my favorites, if you really listen, I'm like, it almost sounds like they're crying. Like I used to say that about Otis Redding. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time, watching the ships roll in. I don't know the words. Out again. It sounds like he's crying a little bit, like he's sad and he's emoting. Emoting is good. And comedy's like that too. It's more connected when it's not the exact routine. And why I get in trouble sometimes because I'll change the joke too much. And my wife calls me on it sometimes. She's like, you changed it. That used to be funnier when you said it this way. And I'll be like, oh my God, I didn't even remember I used to say it that way. And I think the reason why I change the words and I do things slightly different sometimes is it keeps it real. It keeps me feeling emotionally connected to my material if it's not exactly the same word for word. This is like a therapy session, this episode. You can't lock me in. You know, I'll just start to get bored. I lose my funny. I lose my interesting. Everything's fucking gone. Terrible. Terrible. I'm making me laugh. I can't wait to see this documentary. All in the family episodes, laughing and crying at the same time, right? Some of the greatest stuff we've seen in our lifetime. That's good comedy movies. They almost always have like something serious mixed in where you almost cry, right? I could think of movies like that. I'm trying to think like, remember a great one is, what was that movie with Paul Giamatti where he's into wine? What the hell was that called? Side. What the hell was that called? Now I got to look it up. Paul Giamatti. Giamatti, right? Paul Giamatti. You guys are probably saying it out loud right now. What movie was he in? Let's get his IMDb. Did he win an Oscar for that movie? American Splendor he was in. God damn, that was good. That's one that you laugh and you can kind of get... You don't cry at it, but it has an undertone. It has an undertone. God, I'm sitting here going... I'm looking on his Wikipedia page. He was in Private Parts. We know that. Saving Private Ryan. Didn't realize he was in that. Man on the Moon. Big Mama's House. Big Fat Liar. Still haven't got to it. American Sideways. I was way off. Sideways has some seriousness mixed in. You know? It's truthful. No one's funny the whole time. It doesn't really make sense when you think about it. Those sitcoms in front of the studio audience where they're just funny the whole time. Like, the really good ones, they would break from it for a second, and then it would go back to funny. Like, it had the pause. It had the pause. That's what we want. So, dude, I can't wait to watch this Norm MacDonald thing. I'm going to ask my wife to watch it with me. Maybe she'll watch that with me tonight. And then, since, as you know, people, I become friends with some of my super fans, as they call them, and Jerry is a super fan. He's probably seen me live 7 times. He comes to all my shows if I'm ever close. So, and that starts from, I give the number out. Who does that? I do it. I have a second cell number that comes to my Google Voice. It comes to my phone, and I get back to the people that either text me or they call me, unless they call me and say, you suck, and they hang up. Like, I don't call those people back. But other people I do, or I'll text you back. It's 951-298-9899. Okay? Write it down. Put it in your phone. You see something in life. You hear something that makes you have a thought, and you want to share it with me, just like Jerry did, and then he gets on the podcast, and we have a conversation about it. Just do it. Contact me, 951-298-9899. Because this live thing will be starting soon, I promise you on that. I will not let you down on that. I'm definitely going to at least try it. I'll do it with a small, little audience first, then the guy at Governor's Comedy Club where I'm working coming up. James has been really good to me. He said he has a side room that I could do it in. It's like a small comedy club. I could do it there. All I need is like 25 people in the audience for me to have that comfort zone that I have in front of an audience that I like. This not serious guy that's talking right now. And Vinnie Brand at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, he has a really pimped out setup. He said I can do it there. So we could do it there. And there's a couple of little venues around here in Westchester that I could possibly do it at too. So maybe it'll move around. And if it works, who the fuck knows? I could come and do it live. Like, and you could come and watch me do it in front of the audience. You could be in that audience. That would be fun. That would be really fun to have something like that. Because I gotta figure out how to sell more tickets to my shows. Like, I can't keep doing shows where they're serving cake in the middle of my bits. I just can't. I love doing the theaters. Oh my God, the Sellersville Theater this past weekend was so good. But just not the draw. It's like there's a little draw, but it's like I want to sell things out. I want to make more money. I want to sell it out, and I want the venues to be happy. I like it when everybody's making money. You ever been around people when everybody's making money? It's a fucking fun vibe, right? It's like being on a really good baseball team versus my son's. His travel team sucks. They get destroyed every week. It takes the wind out of you, you know? You want to be on where everybody's winning is everybody's goal, right? How do we all win? Let's figure it out, you know? So I'm going to try that, and we'll see where it goes. And I really appreciate you guys, those loyal listeners, the loyal people that come to all my shows, the people that go on Patreon and pay for things on there. And it's so nice of you that you do that. I really appreciate it. And what the hell else? What the hell else can I say? I mean, I got to end with a song. I got to end with a song here. Let's see where my songs are. Got a lot of different songs on here. I got the regular song that we had. But since we're just flying free here at the end, and we don't care, and I guess we'll see how long you can play a song. I won't play it long. This is just kind of a funny song to end this podcast with. If you've seen me live, you'll know why. It's a bit I don't really do anymore, but we'll end with this. This is a good one. It's a perfect one. It really represents how I'm feeling right now as I'm pushing this to the side to come in with a non-locked-in version of me. The Joe Matarese Show. The Joe Matarese Show's coming. It's going to be fun. We're going to be just throwing fucking shit up against the wall and see what sticks. But please, just don't let me do impressions. They don't work for me, even though I can do them. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to have to not do it. I have a problem. All right, ending with Christopher Cross. You guys have a great one. See you soon. Joe Matarese Show coming your way. and you got those shows that I plugged at the beginning here, do you remember the plugs? This Saturday, June 4th, I'll be right here in Scarsdale, New York, doing two shows at Jackie B's. June 16th through the 18th, Bridgeport, Connecticut, at good old Stress Factory up there in Connecticut. June 29th, 30th, Governors in Levittown, Long Island. August 7th, Stone Harbor, New Jersey. August 9th, Diamond Beach, New Jersey. August 10th, Ventnor, New Jersey. August 12th, Brigantine, New Jersey. August 13th, Mullica Hill. Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Come on out, everybody. JoeMatterese.com for tickets. All right? See you later.